In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will go to the altar of God.
To God, my exceeding joy.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
You may be seated. During this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil. All that prevents us from trusting in God and loving each other. Since it is our intention to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, on this night when he instituted this blessed meal for our salvation, it is proper that we complete our Lenten discipline by diligently examining ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. This holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sins. Humbly confess them, and hunger and thirst righteousness. But when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit he became man, so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and to deliver us, took upon himself our sinful nature and the punishment we deserve. So that we may more confidently believe this and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you." It is as if he said, "I became man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way also he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking upon myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins, and to comfort and establish the new testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink." Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ and Christ in him and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another as he has loved us. As our Lord on this night exemplified this love by washing his disciples' feet, so we, by our words and actions, serve one another in love. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from the one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with wine of many grapes, and the one bread is made from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of him, we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. May the Almighty and merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us.
Amen.
Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins, imploring God our Father for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. We stand. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner,
confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. God, be merciful to you and strengthen your faith.
Amen.
Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. We sing the opening hymn, Alas and Did My Savior Bleed, 437.
Alas and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he divulge that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it crimes that I had done, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when God the mighty Maker died for his own creature's sin. Thus might I hide my blushing face, while his dear cross appears, dissolve my heart in thankfulness, and melt mine eyes to tears. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do.
The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31, starting at verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
The New Testament reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 15. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after the saying, This is the covenant that I will make with them, after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
The congregation is invited to stand for the gospel reading. The gospel is from Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it. They said to him, Where will you have us prepare it? He said to them, Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, The teacher says to you, Where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there. And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. We sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of hymn 435.
Come to Calvary's holy mountain, sinners ruined by the fall. Here a pure and healing fountain flows for you, for me, for all. In a full perpetual tide, hope and when our Savior died. Come in poverty and meanness, come defiled without within. From infection and uncleanness, from the leprosy of sin, wash your robes and make them white. Shall walk with God in light. Come in sorrow and contrition, wounded, impotent, and blind. Hear the guilty free remission, hear the troubled peace may find. Health this fountain will restore. Drink a shot this no more.
The congregation is invited to read Psalm 116, verses 12 through 19 with me. You can just listen if you would like, but it is printed in the bulletin. We read, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's. In your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We continue with beginning our meditation using a psalm. Previously, during the season of Lent, I've gone through these psalms piece by piece pretty carefully. This evening, we focus on just on one verse out of this reading, and we expand it and look into what Jesus gave his disciples, his church, that holy meal that night, and think of it. And that verse is verse 15 of Psalm 116 that we just read. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." This was said in the Old Testament times when there were faithful people who followed God's law and followed the sacrifices and festivals that God had given. And they were precious in his sight. That night, before Jesus died, the most precious, holy person gave a holy meal to his disciples. And as the Son of God was holy, he took our sins and was covered with our sins and our punishment. And yet his death was so holy and precious because it paid for us. And it was the Father's will and the direction of the Holy Spirit to redeem us in that way. We think of this meal, what God has done, and his plan all along to save us and all people. At that meal, that night, Jesus said about this supper that he gave to his disciples within the Passover supper, but this is something new that was coming out of that. He said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." This was his intention, to give a new covenant. And in the minds of the disciples, who were pious and faithful Jews, they knew what the first covenant was, the old covenant. And so now Jesus was saying, here's a new covenant. When he said those, this is the new covenant, there is a reflection. There is a reference to the first covenant. The first covenant was given through Moses after the people were brought by those 10 plagues and the miracles, leading the people through out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, now to Mount Sinai in Exodus chapters leading up to 19. And then God has the people gathered at Mount Sinai, and he gives them what is called, and we will see it, what it's called in the scriptures, the Book of the Covenant. And this actually refers to chapters 20 through 24 of Exodus. It's the Book of the Covenant. And it includes the Ten Commandments, but it's more than that too. It also includes ways of living with one another and taking care of the community and some other laws. And the new covenant refers to and points back to that first covenant. And I have written down there in those notes, you'll notice there's no blanks to fill in tonight, just notes. I have written down there verses 4 through 11 of Exodus 24, excuse that type over, Exodus 24. And I read, "And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant," which is Exodus chapters 20 through 24, "he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people." And I stop there for a moment. A covenant was an oath, a relationship between two parties in the Old Testament. And nations could have covenants, families could have covenants. There's a number of ways they did this. But God also established covenants, not only with the people here, but there was also a covenant with Abraham and earlier with Noah. And there were several other covenants. But this is the great covenant, when God called all his people out of slavery and redeemed them and brought them out of Egypt to his holy mountain, and he made a covenant with them. In the Hebrew, oftentimes that word covenant has the idea of cutting a covenant, cutting something. The word has something to do with berit, has something to cut something. And some have said it has to do with cutting into the writing, the rules of the covenant, making the guidelines, the agreement. But it's also been suggested that that cutting of the covenant refers to a sacrifice that was done at the time of the covenant. Covenants were very, very serious. And so we also see it in with Abraham. A covenant is made, God made a covenant with his people, and animals are killed. That covenant cost a life, and there is also a pledge to the covenant: I will not break this covenant, or I could be also killed. I pledge my life on this covenant. So we see what happens here at this point. God has the people sacrifice some animals, throws half the blood towards the altar, towards God, and half the blood on the people. The covenant is between God and the people. Moses, continuing in verse 7, "He took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, 'All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient.' Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, 'Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words.'" They swore to keep the book of the covenant, the relationship with God, and the blood of the covenant was thrown on them. "Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank." So there was a meal with this covenant. And representatives of all these hundreds of thousands of people, 70 elders and other leaders, came up. And I ate a meal before God, and they saw God on the mountain. It's frequently said in the Old Testament, sinful man cannot see God and live. But in this case, he allowed them to see him and ate in his presence. There's three little points at the bottom there, just recapping, summarizing. So that blood of the covenant was thrown half on the altar towards God and half on the people. And the people swore they would follow the covenant. And they said, "We belong to God. He has redeemed us. He has brought us out of slavery. We are his people. And the leaders of the people ate in the presence of God. Do you remember your stories out of Exodus? Do you remember what the people quickly did after they swore to obey the Book of the Covenant, which included the Ten Commandments? Moses went back up the mountain to receive some more directions and instructions from God to give to the people. And he delayed, right? And what did they do? They built a golden calf. And they said, "Look, O Israel, here is your God who has brought you out of Egypt. Let's worship this God." Moses delays, and they just go to another God. They broke the covenant right away. And over and over and over again throughout the Old Testament, they broke the covenant. So that by the time the prophet Jeremiah comes, God is very clear. I will make a new covenant. They broke the old covenant. I will make the new one. And that was our first reading from Jeremiah 31. What God promises to do is that he will make the covenant. They cannot keep a covenant. The sinful people cannot keep a covenant, so he will make it. He was faithful, but they were not. And what's unique and different about this covenant, God promises, is I will write this covenant on their hearts and their minds. He says, I will be their God and they shall be my people. This is what the new covenant will be. And there are other references in the Old Testament of the promise of the new covenant. When Jesus began his ministry, he was quickly pointed out to be the one sent from God, especially by John the baptizer, the Baptist. John pointed out Jesus, and it's recorded right there in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In that one sentence is packed all kinds of promises that God is going to do in Jesus. It's a lamb chosen by God, the special sacrifice that God is going to give. And the lamb was the traditional sacrifice for the Passover as well. So it's a Passover lamb. And for what reason? To forgive and take away the sin of the world. Jesus is the lamb. He's the one. He ministers for 3 years, and now he gathers with his disciples and gives this special meal. And he uses this word, diatheke. You can see the Greek letters there. And sometimes you'll notice in the communion words, sometimes it's covenant and sometimes it's testament. It's because that word, that Greek word diatheke that Jesus used, that's in the text, can be translated both ways, both a covenant and a testament. We see that in Jesus' words, he says, "This is, take and drink this cup, for this is my blood of the new covenant." He is giving it to the people to drink. He is giving his body to eat. We notice here that there is not a requirement to be holy or to follow certain rules, but Jesus is doing here, take, eat, take, drink. This is the forgiveness of sins. You come a sinner. You need forgiveness. It is pure gospel. Jesus is God's Son, incarnate, God and man. The elders and the 70 and the elders of the people were privileged in that first covenant to eat in the presence of God and see this presentation of the glory of God when they ate that meal. But here, the disciples eat with the Son of God, a holy, precious meal, his own body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. They could touch him. They got to know him during his ministry. and he knew them. This new covenant is for the forgiveness of sins. When Jesus says, take, drink, this is for the forgiveness of sins, he is telling his disciples, he is telling us, that we are forgiven in this. We are now his holy people. The sins are washed away. Another name we use for the Lord's Supper is Holy Communion. We commune with God and with one another. And it is a holy communion because he's taking our sins away. It's a holy fellowship, a holy sharing. In that bread and wine, Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood. Jesus comes to us personally in his meal. And he gives us this physical, mysterious, but truly physical presence of his body and blood. And then he also brings us to the cross. When he says, this is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. This is it. He takes us to the cross. Not a re-sacrifice of Christ. No, he did that once for all. But in the Lord's Supper, he brings us to his work of dying on the cross for our sins. We are at Calvary in this body and blood that he gives us. That word diatheke, as it's meant as last will and testament. This is the New Testament, we often say. Jesus was dying. He was going to die. And now he gives his will, his testament. What does he say? Do this in remembrance of me. This is what you should be doing to remember me, to eat this meal. This is his will, his testament. We don't change that. And his will and his testament before he dies is to give us the covenant, the new covenant. It is his will before he dies to give us his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins as often as you do it in remembrance of me. This is what he leaves for us and tells us to live in. The first covenant, it failed, not because God failed, but because people failed. They sinned against God at Mount Sinai and so many times afterwards. And we also fail. We fail trying to follow the Ten Commandments. Any covenant that's dependent on us is weak. But what Jesus gives in the Lord's Supper is not weak, because it is all dependent upon him and his doing. It's his body and his blood. Take, eat, take, drink for the forgiveness of your sins. He brings us close to himself. He comes to us personally. He makes us his holy people in this holy communion. We remember this evening as we take the Lord's Supper. And every time we take it, he is for us. He has made a new covenant that cannot fail. And he offers to us frequently and calls us to forgiveness and life and salvation. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your first covenant that you made with your people. And they, like us, are sinners, and they rebelled, and they broke your first covenant. But you knew that you would reestablish and make a new covenant by your power and your grace. And so you have through your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us this holy meal, connected to his suffering and death on the cross, bringing us his victory over the grave. And we ask you to always reassure us and let us know that you are close and with us, and that Jesus' own body and blood and presence is with us in his Holy Supper. Help us to have the confidence and peace that you want us to have when we take it. And help us to always have the joy of your salvation. For Christ was not afraid to go to the cross. He loved us so much that he would save us. And you want us to know this love. And you also show us and give us this love in this new covenant, this new testament of Jesus' body and blood. Be with us this evening. All these things we bring to you, Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing verse 4, just verse 4 of that hymn we just sang, 435. The offering may be brought forwards.
They that drink shall live forever, 'tis a soul-renewing flood. God is faithful, God will never break his covenant of blood, signed when our Redeemer died, sealed when he was glorified.
We continue with the service of the sacrament as printed in the bulletin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. On the tree of the cross, you gave salvation to mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Grant us peace.
The congregation is invited to stand for the post-communion blessing. Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in the sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Amen. The congregation may be seated. A few notes at this last part of the service. At this time, we will strip the altar, which reminds us of our Lord's suffering and death. And during that time, when we were doing that, we will sing this closing hymn, O Dearest Jesus, What Law Hast Thou Broken, hymn 439. However, I figured out, I put 1 through 5, comma 15, and that may be not enough verses. We're just going to sing 1 through 5 and going, 6, 7, 8, 9, however long we need, we'll just keep singing, and the organist will take note of when is a good time to close with a hymn. So just keep singing. 4, 3, 9. Also, after the stripping of the altar, we leave in silence and think on our Lord's work of salvation for us. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock services. We sing hymn 439.
Dearest Jesus, what law hast thou broken that such a sharp sentence should on thee be spoken? Of what great crime hast thou to make a confession? What a dark transgression! They crown thy head with thorns, they smite, they scourge thee with cruel mockings, to the cross they urge thee. They give thee gall to drink, they still decry thee. Mortal anguish, it is my sins for which thou, Lord, must languish. Yea, all the wrath, the woe thou dost inherit, this I do. Strange is suffered yonder. The shepherd dies for sheep that love to wander. The master pays the debt his servants owe him. Who would not know? Die in sadness, the sinful child of man may live in gladness. Man forfeited. spot in me by sin untainted, sick with sin's poison, all my heart had fainted, my heavy guilt to hell had well nigh brought me, such woe it brought me. Oh, wondrous love, whose depth no heart hath sounded, that brought thee here by foes and thieves surrounded. All worldly pleasures heedless I was trying, while thou wert dying. Almighty King, no time can dim thy glory. How shall I spread abroad thy wondrous story? How shall I find some worthy gifts to proffer? What dare